This morning's responsive reading came from Proverbs chapter 24, verses 1 to 20. So if you have a desire to follow along and journey with us, would you be gracious and kind then to get your Bibles and open to Proverbs chapter 24. Notice the beginning line, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth," notice, "destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." Also too, look at verse 19. "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." Hold your place here and turn to Psalm 73, and let's consider a beautiful cross-reference. Psalm 73. And notice what Asaph tells us in verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Something here is happening to Asaph. There seems to be a stumbling in his mind or in his thoughts about something. "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" This is the envious, wicked people chiding God, asking foolish questions, whether God is truly aware of them or watching them. "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." Asaph thinks, man, look at these people. They are so wicked, but they are so popular. They are so evil, but they have all this wealth and all the toys. They have all the glamour, all the glitz, and all the glitter. And he says to himself in verse 13, "As I live this Christian life, notice, I have cleansed my heart, apparently in vain, and I've washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." Asaph seems to be going through one trial after another, and yet evil men seem to have no problems, no issues in life. They sail. "If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against a generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." I'm going to stop here and let you read the rest of Psalm 73 when you have time. But I wanted to show you, Asaph was a man who, in a moment of weakness, looked around and saw the wicked prospering. And even today, even now, at this very hour, we have seen a very speedily downward movement in our culture as a people and as a nation. Just in these past 4 years, during the Biden administration, we have seen wicked, evil men prosper. It seems that wicked and evil men can get away with the law. The law only seems to apply to you, but it does not seem to apply to the wicked who simply roughshod over God's people and over the word of the Lord. And yet, what does Asaph tell us in Psalm 73? These wicked men are so bold and so brash, as if to say to themselves or to others verbally, is God watching? Does God really know what I'm doing? Does God take an interest in my wicked life? Maybe there is no God to be accountable, and therefore I will continue in my wickedness. And yet, how do we find Proverbs 24 when she opens up? Be not thou envious or jealous against evil men. Don't. Now, there's a temptation there. Because as we just read in Proverbs, and we just showed you in Psalm 73, you have to admit, wicked, evil men do seem to have all the toys. They have the power, right? They have the connections. They have a very firm and well-established network of individuals who will always cover their backside. They can break the law, and the judges and the juries seem to be inept to execute justice upon such men. And yet we are told in the book of Proverbs here, be not thou envious or jealous or covetous against evil men. And then it says, neither desire to be with them. Well, we just got done doing a series on biblical separation. So here's another one of these verses. Yes, beloved, we do not leave this world. We have to live in the world. We have to bump shoulders with lost people. We have to work with them or even for them. We live next door to them. You may have lost loved ones in your family. They need to hear the gospel. We pray for them. We love them. We try to be as gracious as we can with them. But beloved, their particular lifestyle and your lifestyle are in total opposition, total conflict. Again, you have two conflicting worldviews clashing. And now that clash has gone from within the church to now outside the walls of the church, marching down Main Street with rainbow flags and banners to boot. Be not thou envious. What else does it say about these evil men? Their heart studieth destruction. And we look at our president, our current president, President Biden. He seems to be hell-bent in simply destroying this country, overturning everything that is sacred, overturning traditions, overturning our history, overturning our heritages, overturning our rights and privileges as citizens of this great nation. And their lips talk of mischief. All you got to do is listen to Joe Biden when he speaks on any occasion, on any particular day. He makes no sense when he speaks. And when he does speak, every so often his evil desires do come to the table when he slips. And he tells us quite plainly what he's doing and the motivation behind that in destroying this country. And then again, verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men. Beloved, it's quite easy right now to be quite discouraged on how things are going in our country. All the pressures against the family and against the church. All the forces of evil that seem to be going out of their way to simply bury us or to remove us from the face of the earth. Their lips talk of mischief. And then he says what? Fret not thyself because of them, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Why? Notice verse 20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. And then notice this. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Now, for those of you who do not know, the ending of verse 20 has been practiced quite openly. Many of us don't see it because maybe we're not around certain circles where this is practiced. But in the Middle Ages, when the Roman Catholic Church, for instance, was up and running, powerful, with all of its tentacles all across Europe, when a king or a queen or a certain people were to be excommunicated because of whatever infraction, in order for the Pope or the Bishop or a Cardinal to reinforce Rome's position, they would conduct an excommunication service. And in that service, there would be phrases in Latin as they condemned the person or the people or the country or the territory. And all the priests and the monks who were present had a tall candle in their hand. And at the end of the ceremony, to reinforce being cut off from the life of the church, and therefore being cut off from any hope of being saved, they took the candle, turned it upside down, and shoved it onto the floor, extinguishing the flame. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. And that's where Rome got the practice of taking the candle, reversing it, and then stomping it on the floor, extinguishing the flame, which what? Was a sign of extinguishing that person and their soul. Interesting. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.